Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by WordPress. Reach more customers when you build your business website on WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month. Get 15% off any new plan at WordPress.com/AllAboutAndroid. Welcome to All About Android, episode 372, recorded on Tuesday, June 5th. 2018, where your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Hello! We feeling sugared up? Had some kettle corn?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of, sort of?
We're feeling milled.
Yeah, we're feeling milleted.
Milleted.
We are full of millet.
I'm ready to be fed to goats.
Speaking of feeding goats, welcome back to the show, Matteo Doni. How's it going, Matteo?
Very well, thanks. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Absolutely. Anytime, all the time, man. We love having you on. Talk a little bit about techtravelgeeks.com.
Techtravelgeeks.com is a new project I'm working on with my friend and colleague, Lukasz Suliga. We decided that we had a bit of passion for technology, but specifically technology that makes travel and life for travelers much easier and more comfortable. So anything from packing tips to what sorts of power adapters to have, or what best devices to help you have a good travel experience. And we've just started the project up. We're in the early phases of building our processes and creating content. And we're going to carry on doing this. Lukasz has just had a long service award from our employer, Skyscanner, and had 5 weeks in which he traveled around the world.
Nice.
And during those 5 weeks, he's built up a lot of content of many countries across the world. And we're going to be releasing that over a period of time. And we travel both together and individually. And we're going to be creating lots of interesting content. Needless to say, it's going to be mostly Androids focused because we're both passionate Android users.
Mockadile? Yay.
There's already an article. I was just perusing. There's already an article on Mockadile.
We should know that. There's also a post of somebody's underwear.
That's my underwear.
I didn't want to call attention to it, guys.
Good.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. And you see my beautiful cat t-shirt as well. So I roll it up in such a way that it fits in the bottom of my hand luggage.
Oh.
So it's really easy to feel a bit fresh and better off after having been traveling for, say, 12 to 24 hours. Just a quick travel tip. An amazing fashion tip.
That involves underwear.
Get amazing cat t-shirts.
Okay. I mean, I like the t-shirts. Don't get me wrong. The underwear was unexpected.
Well, you got to bring an extra pair with you. Airplanes are gross.
It's true. It's true.
PSA for everyone out there traveling for the summer. Yeah. Bring a pair of underwear.
Always bring an extra pair of underwear
and your toothbrush with you on the plane.
And don't forget to bring a towel.
You can go without a towel. There's paper towels.
All right, let's talk about stuff. We've got stuff to talk about this week that has nothing to do with underwear. We're going to be discussing the many, because suddenly it's Pixel 3 rumor season, and we've got a whole gaggle of them. More Project 5 phones are out there and announced. We've got the Meizu 15 that Matteo is going to talk about. Also the Honor 10 or the Honor 10, depending on whether you're me or not.
Honor.
I don't know whoever pronounces it Honor. Asus ROG, or is it Rogue?
ROG. Republic of Gamers.
That makes more sense. ROG. YouTube Music. I feel like we talk about this every week, but now, so Google's done a good job of trickling things out so that it gets constant attention. I just don't know if it's good attention, because now we have the YouTube Music hands-on with the new app, and we'll dive into that and a whole lot more. Don't want to steal your thunder, though, Victor. You've got plenty of ammunition from which to work. It's time for the news.
Well, it looks like we got millet in my Android news. Or, since Mateo's here, we goat news.
We goat news.
We goat lots of news.
We goat lots of millet news. I like
Thanks,
it.
Victor.
I don't know why we never did that before. Flo, you got the top rumor.
It's
not a news,
it's
but rumor.
It's Pixel Rumor Palooza. Yay! Confetti thrown everywhere. Let's pretend that's happening.
Noisemakers.
Noisemakers. So Mark Gurman, when he wasn't at WWDC yesterday at Bloomberg, says that there will be two Pixels this October. The Pixel 3 XL is kind of the first one that's being hearsayed about. It will have a nearly edge-to-edge screen with talks of LG being the source for the display for the notched Pixel. Yeah, so the idea is it's going to have a notch.
Natch.
That's like the hot new thing
natch.
Now.
Natch.
Natch.
It'll have a
it's
notch.
It's going to have a notch.
Yeah,
so that notch will have dual front-facing cameras, taller than the notch on the iPhone X, but not as wide. The Pixel 3 will look similar to the Pixel 2. The on-leak sources point to also a regular Pixel 3 with a 5.3-inch display, whereas this Pixel 3 XL would have a 6.2-inch display. The smaller Pixel 3 would have no notch, for those of us who want to keep things simple, a.k.a. me. And the larger one would have the notch with, I'm assuming, the dual front-facing cameras. Again, these are all rumors. Nothing's confirmed, but...
But they're Gurman rumors, and that usually ends up being holding a little extra weight.
Sure. it's possible this is the first time that the phones will also be built with Foxconn.
Oh.
And Google's plan is to completely eliminate bezels, including the notch, in future models, which sort of... is confusing considering there's lots of talk about notches.
Now, but I think the long-term vision is Ron's sci-fi future of just a full glass panel on the front.
Yes.
And I guess that means all the like camera components and everything hiding under the glass. We were already seeing fingerprint sensors hidden under the glass, so it's not impossible to think that that couldn't happen.
And then they're going to be so microscopic. They'll be so small. It'll be translucent glass, and it's going to be so cool.
Yeah, you'll see your hand on the other side as you're holding.
Yeah,
the phone.
Totally. We're close. Yeah. So we'll find out like the hardware section. We're so close.
Is that like the Parks and Recreation episodes in the future?
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did that. They jumped ahead to the future in the last season.
Oh, did
and
they?
And they had these like phones that were very Expanse-like, which I believe is what Ron is referring to.
I love those Expanse phones.
Yeah, they're great. You know, and it's very possible that LG could be one of those manufacturers to create some sort of all display phone. They are going to be, this is the first mass market OLED notched panel, but with Google possibly doing away with the notch in the future, who knows?
I've seen some share their disappointment with the fact that this is rumored to be LG with the display.
Why?
Well, LG has the display on the current Pixel 2 XL.
Yes.
And if you remember, that was a thing that many people, including us, made a lot of hay over, the fact that it had the kind of the blue tint and the off angle, you know, viewing was not perfect. So like going back to the LG display trough, maybe that's a bad idea.
The LG display trough?
Yeah.
I just imagined a bunch of pigs with their noses in a trough eating
display LG displays. Sorry, LG. That's not a good marketing campaign.
Trough,
but
that's where my mind went.
Where LG feed you millet.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what LG feeds its displays. It's millet.
These rumors seem pretty, I mean, like we said, Mark Gurman is a source of them. We also have an additional leak from OnLeaks, which has been known to sort of be on the mark. And we are reaching that time. I mean, we're about, 4 months?
Yeah, well, it's October, so.
We're about four months out. Which makes sense that we would have all that happen this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the OnePlus 6 at the beginning of summer, so we really don't have anything else to do this summer but speculate about the Pixel. There really is nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've got nothing better to do, and you've got nothing better to do than to watch or listen to us.
It's going to be sitting inside a hot place, a hot house.
Eating millet. And then, Ron, you've got...
Yeah, so even more speculation. More Google speculation. Mm-hmm. So, WinFuture's Roland Quant is reporting that Google's working on a device based off the newly rolled out Snapdragon 710 that's currently scheduled for the first half of 2019. Quant says this would be a mid-range Pixel device to start 2019 with. And the 710 was just announced by Qualcomm just last week and is designed for AR and neural network processing and a 30% decrease in battery consumption. And going back to that report from Gurman, it did say that the next version of Android is said to have a significant increase in AI computation. So those two pieces of data kind of add up towards this. And it's rumored that Quant said that this project is codenamed Bonito, which Bonito. Those who like Japanese food will recognize Bonito flakes and things like that. So mid-range Pixel. I've been saying this for how many years? We need a mid-range Pixel, you know, like an affordable Pixel device. I like it. So Snapdragon 710 is the new hotness. Room for AI. I don't know, Matteo. Do you think this is a rumor worth believing?
I think, yes, this sounds like a credible rumor, also because I believe Xiaomi did that last week as well. So they released the Xiaomi Mi 8 and the Xiaomi Mi 8 SE, which runs on that Snapdragon 710 chipset. Mm-hmm. It has a notch too, so history repeats itself.
Mi's beating Google to the punch. The Xiaomi's meeting Google to the punch. Apparently. I'm sure we'll see
another market.
Yeah, we'll see other phones that are based on the 710. I'll be curious to see if the 710 is tailor-made for AI, you know, applications, how that influences the design of the phones that is being released on as we lead up to this potential, you know, Google mid-range phone, whether it happens or not. I mean, between now and the middle of next year, that's like a full year from now. So a lot can happen, a lot can change, but we'll know a lot more as far about what the Snapdragon 710 actually means for a smartphone by then. And it almost sounds, now that we talk about it that way, it almost seems like it's late.
Yeah.
If it's using that chipset, but.
Then again, AI is the parsley of words for the tech industry at the moment. Everyone's using the word AI or machine learning, depending on the context.
I thought everyone was using the word parsley, and I was like, where's all the parsley in my phones?
Android P, parsley. We figured it out.
Oh, don't say that. Don't put that into the world, because then we have to taste a year of parsleys, and I'm not doing that.
Diced parsley, cooked parsley. We can go for full 52 weeks easy with parsley.
Parsley pesto.
It's delicious in Middle Eastern cuisine.
Parsley's true. It's also a part of parsley's Romanian cuisine, FYI.
Parsley isn't just the thing that I thought it was when I was a kid, was when they put the sprig of parsley on top, and I was like, oh, this is how you make your breath smell good. No, it's not. I don't think that's why they put that there, but maybe it was. I thought it was like the natural breath freshener, but apparently it's not. Project Fi is apparently opening up to more devices, so you don't just have to get a Pixel phone or a Nexus phone. You can't get Nexus phones anymore, but there you go. LG G7 ThinQ, the LG V35 ThinQ, and the Moto G6, three new devices working with Project Fi. Prior to this, you really didn't have a whole lot of options outside of Pixel and Nexus, aside from the Moto X4.
Yeah.
At least they're expanding it, and I'm happy to see that, because now that I'm on Project Fi, The thing I just really didn't think about is, because I review phones.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes the phones don't work with that SIM.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of out of luck, and that's a real big
problem. That's why I have a second SIM.
Maybe I need to get a second SIM.
Rolling
so do you pay on that? Do you pay on that every month?
No, I have Mint SIM, and I just pay for it every 3 months. They just take it out of my bank.
Oh, maybe I should get something like that for reviewing some of these other devices.
And I also like to use it when we have long trips, and then I just put all the music streaming on that one instead of my main.
Oh, that's smart.
So
that's smart. Other Fi news, users can now add children 13 and under to group plans. Apparently you can do that before. It's all managed via the Family Link app. So, you know, parents can set data alerts, usage limits to their children's accounts. You can, of course, remotely lock the child's phone if you want to limit screen time, content filters and Chrome and search and all that kind of stuff. So integrating Project Fi more into the family experience and allowing for control of, you know, the family phones through Project Fi. So
I see a family phone in your future.
distant future.
I know.
I'm putting it off as long as I can.
Yeah.
I feel like it's still a few years away. Crossing my fingers anyways. So cool. Project 5, more phones. I'm happy to see that.
Hey, we have an email.
Cool, there we go.
I had to be more woo about it. So we have an email from Patrick. An email about Gmail.
I feel like this needs to go as Dr. Seuss. Can you please make this Dr. Seuss?
It's an email about Gmail on a chair in a studio in Sonoma. I have recently switched to the new Gmail. I am struggling with two things. First, how do you snooze an email? Wherever it isn't obvious to me. And second, where are the contacts at now? They used to be at the top left by the Gmail icon. Well, Patrick, the good news is nothing is obvious to any of us in the new Gmail. It's, it kind of has been left the same, but kind of not.
Yeah, they've moved things around. Have you been using it very much? Are you inbox?
I have to use Gmail whenever I schedule emails because my plugin only works with the original Gmail. But I use inbox to do all my snoozing, to do all my pinning, to dismiss things. I just find the user interface is a lot less crowded. But I understand people want to use Gmail. And you absolutely should. So if you want to snooze an email in the Gmail, so on the web, you can hover over the email to reveal the clock icon on the desktop. And that effectively allows you to snooze. It's the same in inbox as well.
Yeah.
Or you can look in the overflow menu while looking at the email you want to snooze on Android. And then there'll be an option for that there.
Yeah.
So
you might have to look a little bit. But I think it involves getting used to kind of the new... The inbox style paradigm Gmail app.
It's a new interaction. It's like you're not used to. I know the first time I'm using the new Gmail on both app and the web, and hovering over a subject line and saying like, oh, there are icons here. I can do stuff with it. You just got to train yourself to it. So.
Yeah, but it's definitely there. Mateo, or inbox Gmail, which is your preference?
On web, Gmail and G Suite, and on mobile, it's the native app from Google.
Okay, so Gmail pretty much in both cases, not doing inbox at all.
Yes. I've never actually, now that I come to think of it, I've almost never used the web interface for contacts. I just sync them with my phone and they come up in the contacts app separately.
Yeah, on the phone, that's different, but you've got the answer for number two also, right?
Yes, so number two was, where are the contacts? So the contacts have been removed from the Gmail interface. However, on the desktop, you can click the Google Apps button up top, find the contacts button in the menu, and then click to drag it to the top of the display, and then that's how it stays there for good. Very confusing. If you're on the web, I suggest to just go, I believe it's contacts.google.com.
Yeah, you can go there, but I mean, this actually, you set it up one time and it's there for good. Like, I don't know how often interact with the little more apps.
I forget
button.
That this exists, too.
Like, I use that all the time to switch between, and I forgot that you can actually switch them around. You can reorder them, and you might have to click in the little more drop down in order to find contacts, because in mine, anyways, it was buried in the more section.
It's not an off-used app.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're used to going into Gmail and getting to your contacts from there, this is basically the same thing. Although what's going to happen when you click it is it's going to open a new window with contacts loaded, which is kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
This is just a way to point and click to it instead of opening it manually.
Yeah.
So it's not embedded in the interface, in other words. So it is a separate window.
You know, the other reason I don't use Gmail is because it crashes a lot.
The new Gmail?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I have too many darn emails, but... It crashes a lot for
too
me.
Too many emails.
Or rather, it's just very slow. But anyway.
Flow is too popular. Does not confuse.
To be fair, I'm using it for both my personal and business endeavors.
Fair enough. Fair enough, yes.
Well, speaking of business endeavors, let's take a time out and thank our sponsor of this episode.
Very good.
It was a great email. Thank you, Flo, for handling that. And thank you to WordPress for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. If you've ever visited any site I've worked on, good chance in the past 10 years, you know that the center of my presence online reflects who I am and who I stand for. And that's why I choose WordPress. I use WordPress.com because it gives me the freedom and flexibility to share my voice, my work, my way. You can make your site your own when you build it on WordPress.com. You don't need to do the coding or design. We're beyond that. Years and years and years ago, you had to do that. Now, WordPress provides all the tools you need to get your site up and running. They've got a customer support team that's there 24/7 to help. That's Monday through Friday and weekends too, because if you're like me, you're working on this stuff on a Sunday morning when you actually have time to do stuff. Sometimes you need a little help. WordPress is there for you. WordPress offers powerful e-commerce options ranging from a simple and effective buy button to a complete online store. And the greatest thing is that their plans start at just $4 a month. So when you're ready to expand your business's online reach, WordPress makes it easy with built-in search engine optimization, social sharing, and specialized plugins to meet all your needs. Now, this is the most mind-boggling thing. I hope you're sitting down if you're listening or watching this right now, because guess what? 30% of all websites run on WordPress. Think about the internet and how big and expansive the internet is. 30% of it is running on WordPress, and there's a reason for that, because WordPress is simply the best. So get started today with 15% off any new plan purchase. Go to wordpress.com/allaboutandroid to create your website. That's wordpress.com/allaboutandroid for 15% off your brand new website. That's wordpress.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank WordPress for their support and making such a great product and making my websites run like smooth kettle corn butter.
Oh,
so there you go.
It's kettle corn butter. WordPress.com.
Thank you, WordPress.
30% of the internet is smooth like kettle corn butter.
Sure is.
And filled with puffed millet. It's time. Sorry, WordPress. You can blame Oreo for that. It's time for hardware.
Oh, wait. Should I have played the other hardware?
Oh, wait. We actually have. Yeah.
I think it's that's possible.
We have a bumper.
Yeah. I think maybe we have
some. It's possible. Thank you. I'm honored to have maintained that my status is friend of the show. But not only friend of the show, I am a friend of the show with his own bumper.
Friend of show with bumper.
Okay. It's pretty high up there.
Can I make this right now?
Yeah, do it.
Okay.
Excellent. And good.
Amazing.
Thank you very much.
All right, so Mateo, you've got not one but two things in the goat shack. What is the first thing
in the goat shack?
We'll start off in order of product releases. So the first one is the Meizu 15. So the Meizu 15 is Meizu's flagship for 2018, which also happens to be their 15th anniversary as a business. Meizu started off 15 years ago making MP3 players, and then evolved into a smartphone company. So Meizu are a Chinese brand. They're very big in China. In many ways, they are accused of taking inspiration from the Fruity phone company who design things in California. But more often than not, we see Meizu coming along and actually doing innovations such as the positioning of antenna bands long before Apple actually get to market with their product. So it's a bit of a mutual inspiration going on there. Meizu are a company who are well known for their hardware design. And usually their product portfolio goes from the low end to the high end of the mid-range. And by that I mean not where OnePlus are now positioned, which is definitely starting to be flagship territory. With the Meizu 15, they have ensured they stay within that mid-range. So the Meizu 15 starts around about $400. And for that, you get a 5.5-inch screen, which is not one of the funky new 18:9 aspect ratio ones. It doesn't have a notch. It's a normal 16:9 aspect ratio one. The hardware is beautifully designed. They've gone for as much symmetry and balance as possible. So the selfie cameras pop in the middle. The fingerprint scanner is in the middle at the bottom. If you turn the device around, the cameras are in the middle of the device in a vertical configuration, and it has a ring flash there.
Oh, is that what that is? I don't know if you can see that. Yeah.
So that's six LEDs for the flash, and the laser autofocus is positioned in the middle. So it's beautifully designed.
It's neat.
It's the metal it's made of is a stainless steel aluminium composite, and they've then coated that with some other material, which makes it a terrible fingerprint magnet. But after a few wipes and microfiber cloth use, it buffs up. It's a beautiful, beautiful material. And then they've put another little detail in the antenna bands. They now have this Greek-style effect. I believe lower down in the Cool Smartphone article where I review the device, I've done a close-up of that little detail, which is there. And so, yes, the Meizu 15 is their flagship for 2018. It's their 15th anniversary phone, which they've spent a lot of care and attention to producing as a product, even bringing in one of the company founders to assist with that design. So there we are. The picture there has that Greek effect, I'm afraid.
Almost like the border of it. It's very subtle. How does that look in person? Because it's actually kind of hard to see on the web.
Yeah, it's in person. It's not something you notice immediately. But if you look in at it, it's just that little detail that shows that they've spent a lot of time and effort in making this device look and feel really, really good.
Yeah.
They've also recessed the notification LED on the front within the speaker, so within the phone speaker. And I'm sorry, Ron, they're not living up to your Bluetooth utopia. They have maintained the courage port as well as a USB Type-C port.
That's fine. I understand why. I get it.
But the Meizu 15, I've been using as a primary device for over a month now. It is a lovely, lovely device, and it's in a way quite pleasant to have a 16:9 aspect ratio device. Some of these newer 18:9 or 19:9 aspect ratio devices, they're a bit more difficult for me to type on with my chunky thumbs. Whereas, because the aspect ratio is different, it's easier to type on a 16:9 aspect ratio display, mm-hmm. at least for me. And another thing they've made a lot about is their M engine, so their haptic feedback engine. So they've optimized that for the device and their operating system, their Android distribution, based on Android 7.1 Nougat. Flyme is very finely tuned with their haptic feedback. Obviously, the Meizu 15 is the main device, the 5.5-inch one. There is the Meizu 15 Plus, which differs from the 15 in that it has a 6-inch screen. It's not running a Qualcomm Snapdragon chipset. It's running on a Samsung Exynos chipset. That's the Meizu 15 Plus. Whereas the Meizu 15 runs on a Qualcomm Snapdragon 660 chipset. And then there's the Meizu M15, which is also known as the Meizu 15 Lite outside of China, which is running on a Snapdragon 626 chipset. But overall, the design cues of the whole range of Meizu 15 devices is pretty much the same. The operating system, their new version of Flyme 7, is the same. It's very iOS-like, but within that, it's very clean, very fast, and it's customizable with themes, much the same as many other Asian devices on the market. And I was very, very pleasantly impressed with the Meizu 15 at launch, and I've carried on using it since. I was a guest of Meizu's at the launch in China, and I'm convinced that the only reason they invited me was that they had a National Geographic photographer they had partnered with, Michael Yamashita, and he showed a picture he took with the Meizu 15 of a goat in Mongolia. I don't know if you can see that in the article, Victor.
They probably did that on purpose, I'm thinking.
I'm sure they did.
They just knew.
So it's at the bottom, the Michael Yamashita shot.
Keep going. Yeah, it's like in a conference. Yeah, there you go.
There we are. So that picture was taken in low light. The cameras on the Meizu 15 are very, very good. It's the same sensor and setup as the Huawei P20. Not the P20 Pro, the P20.
Oh, okay.
With a different software stack. So The sensor is very capable. The software setup is different.
And there's no NFC on here, so Android Pay is off the table, right?
Yes.
Or Google Pay, sorry, not Android Pay.
Google Pay is not available because there's no NFC. This right. is a device primarily made for the Chinese market, but it is going to be sold in markets across Europe, Africa, and Asia. Sadly, no plans for Meizu to come to the UK or the USA.
Go to that last picture real quick. This is interesting how it blurs out like the center area, but
it's more obvious. It's more obvious on the computer monitor. You can see that like half the picture is blurred. Yes, and right. It kind of works, but when you really see what's going
yeah.
on,
yeah, I mean, so
half
much
the boat is blurred.
Yeah.
If you go scroll a few images further on, also my cat Vala, the tuxedo cat, she was moving and it's blurred. It's focused on the wrong thing. I believe it's mainly a software issue. The software isn't tuned as well as other companies have with very similar hardware.
Right, right.
But the hardware is very, very capable. If you take the time and attention to frame your pictures and take a shot, it does give good results. But it's not as simple as point and shoot on your Pixel 2 XL or a Huawei P20 Pro.
Yeah.
For example.
I mean, you could be jumping with the Pixel and it'll still like take an appropriate photo.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind
so
of
the dual camera setup Victor has up here offers you the option to have 2x optical zoom or 3x lossless zoom. So it's a 12 megapixel sensor, main sensor, and a 20 megapixel RGB sensor. And so this is, if you scroll back a couple, so this is the main shot. This is 2x zoom, and the next one is 3x lossless zoom.
Right.
So
that's pretty impressive.
Their own thing. It's not perfect, but it's very impressive. And for most people, it's more than enough for their photography needs.
Nice. And this is just...
So you're getting
sorry.
A lot of phone for $400.
Yeah, no kidding. And just the Chinese market, although people will be able to import this if they like as well, right?
Definitely. If you go to AliExpress or even to Amazon in most markets, you'll be able to pick one up through a parallel importer.
Nice. Cool. Now, have you also been playing around with the Honor 10? Like, have you spent as much time with the Honor 10 as you have with the Meizu 15?
I haven't spent as much time with the Honor 10 as I have with the Meizu 15, mainly because the Honor 10 was launched also almost a month later. Mm-hmm. But I have been playing around with it a lot. I have got used to the notch again after my time with the P20 Pro. And I have to say, Honor have knocked it out of the ballpark with the Honor 10 in the sense that they've turned up the notch on the shininess. That Aurora glow, that Aurora glass finish, which goes between purple and blue according to which angle you hold it at, is impressive. And very few videos can really do it justice because of lighting and conditions. It's one of those things you have to see in person.
I mean, I even remember that with the Honor 8. It was such a beautiful phone to have in your hand. And like, because you just haven't seen a design like that. You haven't seen a glass that's reflective like that on other phones. It's very unique.
Yeah. So it's very similar to the Honor 8, but much in the same way that the Huawei chipsets have improved from the Honor 8 to the Honor 9 to the Honor 10, and the cameras have improved, the same can be said of their glass design on the back. And this is so shiny.
Mm-hmm. Fingerprint magnet there as well?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's definitely a fingerprint magnet. And as I said, they've turned up the notch on the shininess.
Ha! What is your general take on the notch? Because, I mean, this is definitely the year of the notch. We're seeing it on almost every mid to premium device that's coming out right now. They all seem to have this as part of their plans. How do you feel about that?
So I understand the arguments for the notch. It's a good idea. From what I've seen, there are some issues in software. So apps that I use, such as Instagram, don't work properly with the Notch. Some of your interaction buttons are hidden if you're full screen. And if you hide the Notch, they don't scale appropriately. And I can't tell if that's purely an issue with, say, Instagram, or if it's an MUI issue on this device. So I have a feeling that the Fruity company has played a great long-term practical joke on all Android OEMs by making a Notch and then getting everyone else to say, we have a Notch too. It's smaller. It's better. And then Apple will maybe turn around later this year and say, we don't need a notch anymore.
Yeah, we don't have one.
And we brought back the headphone jack.
Yeah. And everyone's product roadmaps for the next 18 months have phones with notches in them.
Yep. Yeah, so true. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if that comes to fruition. But you know that that is the direction, right? Obviously,
yes.
If any of these companies could, they'd do all the same things that they're doing, but completely get rid of the notch. And that's the direction that they're going. What? Who knows when they're going to be able to get there? But yeah, I'd imagine Apple would be pretty quick on that.
I agree. And we've seen it in the Android P preview. Google have realized that that's the way the market's going. Once hardware product roadmaps are in place, everyone just has to go with it because it's often an 18-month to two-year pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not something they can change overnight, unlike the software.
Right. Well, cool. Are you going to be posting a full review on the Honor 10 at some point? And if so, will that be going to Cool Smartphone or Tech Travel Geeks? Where will that be headed?
So that the full review of the Honor 10 will be on Tech Travel Geeks. Okay. We'll be focusing on using that as photography. So, for example, traveling and leaving your camera at home and just using a smartphone as your camera. So we're going to do that with a few different devices. And that will be on Tech Travel Geeks soon. The reason it's not up there yet is I've just received a firmware upgrade, which should be the final consumer one, which has currently been rolling out in Germany but hadn't reached me yet.
Always with a banana for scale, by the way.
Well spotted, Jason.
I saw it on the Meizu 15 as well. You always have a banana for scale in at least one photo. And if we're lucky, you have a picture of our podcast. And we thank you for that, Mateo.
I do always, my best. That picture
always
also
on
demonstrates.
Brand. Always yes. on brand.
Thank you. That picture also demonstrates that Huawei have implemented their MUI hide the notch. So you can see at the top of the screen, you can switch the notch off if you don't like it. And it will treat that space just for notifications in black and white, and it gives you the impression that it's just like your normal smartphone without a notch.
Yeah, I feel like that should be a standard option for any of these phones that are coming out with notches. And then you have really no reason to complain, right? Like, you do that, and anyone that's complaining about the notch being there, like, it's fine. Like, you just kind of wouldn't know. The only way you would know is the fact that that middle part, you know, you can't have icons there. But the way the new OS is laid out, after a certain amount of icons, it just does a little ellipses anyways. And you need to kind of open up your notifications to get to them anyways. So,
yeah. This is the way and I like the way that they've managed to do it with one screen, unlike, I believe it was the first LG V series, which had a separate AMOLED screen just for notifications.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Do you remember those days, Flo?
Oh, yes. That's right. Oh, I forgot about those days.
Two front-facing screens.
You know, I've just been very spoiled by the Pixel. I'm just, I forgot about all those awful other things we had to endure.
Yeah, they were extra. And they offered, you know, extra features that you couldn't get on the other phones. It just seemed kind of unnecessary in day-to-day use. But this is the best of both worlds as far as I'm concerned, right? Like, okay, just extend the display up there and it all becomes usable. So cool.
Yeah, so a case for notches again.
Yeah, I suppose so. Naturally. All right. Sorry, that was from earlier. It's not purely original.
I have a feeling that's going to be our show title.
It's already up there. I think so. Yeah. Although, man, we've had Notch in the show title so many times.
Well, to be fair, it's back in style. So, yeah. I mean, we're talking about what's in style.
Listen, it's never gone out of style, Flo.
All right. No, so it has Notch. Moving on. Ron,
maybe we should have an option to turn it on or off on the title, too.
Yeah, oh, okay. That would be clever.
Yeah, if you could figure that out, that'd be great. All right, Ron, go.
All right, so moving on. Xiaomi is in the running for making my new favorite phone, possibly. The Xiaomi announced their latest flagship, the Mi 8. And it's we talked about this in the past couple of weeks about the rumors around it. The official specs for it are a 6.21 inch OLED Samsung screen with a notch, because you know, naturally,
right?
It's got a 20 megapixel front facing camera, you know, for all your front facing photo needs. I'm not going to say the S word that Flo would. it's running a Snapdragon 845 with a 12 megapixel rear facing camera, which I find interesting that the front facing is more megapixels than the rear facing, which is interesting. It's also the first phone with dual frequency GPS for more accurate location data, and it sells for around $421 converted to US dollars. But this gets cooler though, because the Explorer Edition includes an in-display fingerprint sensor that uses pressure sensitivity, also 3D face recognition technology, and that's around $577 converted to US dollars. And of course, there's an Animoji-alike function within it.
Yeah,
yeah. Sorry, that's got the Mi 8 SE is cheaper. And it's first to use a Snapdragon 710, and it's going to be a 5.88-inch OLED display, and that's only going to be $281 converted. And all these are going to release in China only. Info about other markets to come. But yeah, Victor, you zeroed in on what I like the most about this one is the transparent back, which is very similar to what we saw last week when we talked about the new HTC phones. And the HTC U12 had it as well. This goes a little step further in being transparent. You get to see a whole bunch of that chips and stuff like that in there. I like this trend of transparent backs. I got to tell you guys, this is my new favorite trend. Better than notches. So,
hey, I just want to point out real quick that that same Verge article also mentions that the Mi 8 has scored, not that this is the end all be all of how phone cameras perform, but scored a 105 on DxO Mark, which is pretty dang high. I just want to put that out there. So cool.
Yeah. Well, cool. You know, we're seeing such great cameras in all of these phones in the mid-range and higher now. So yeah, that's
all those prices that Ron just lifted off, listed off. Low. They were all under $600.
Yeah, converted. Yeah. Converted.
Yeah, but still, that's
I know.
Un poquito in comparison.
Yeah, Xiaomi's got some really great hardware. Are you going to be playing around with this one when you get your hands on it? If you get your hands on it, Matteo?
Definitely. So I've already reached out to friends in China to see if they can go into the pre-sales and get me a unit of the Explorer Edition. That's the one with the transparent back. Just because that is such a different thing, but it's also, I think, a testament to their good engineering and product design that they're willing to show that off. It's a bit like restaurants. If you go into one where you can see the kitchen, it means they have nothing to hide. Much the same as Xiaomi's Explorer Edition of the Mi 8. Xiaomi's Android distribution, the MIUI or MIUI, is a very pleasant Android distribution to use. And they're now very close to Google in the sense that you can get Android P preview on some of their devices. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't be surprised on seeing a compatible ROM popping up for the Xiaomi Mi 8 or Mi 8 Explorer Edition.
We should also point out, because the chat room's kind of going nuts on this, and I had missed this, but there are a number of reports that say that the transparency that you see on the back is not necessarily faked, as in like it's a sticker, but it's a board that does not add any actual function to the operation of the device. So there's a board underneath there. It is transparent. You are seeing something on the other side, but you're not seeing the actual internal components of the phone.
It's like they do this on German cars. They cover the whole... like the whole engine with like a giant, just like a giant like plastic whatever, and then like a big logo of the car.
I still think it's cool. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, it adds. It's not a sticker, at least. But it's a premium. It's like a premium dressing,
right?
You know, like if instead of Saran wrap, it's a full plastic case. You know.
Yeah.
Nothing. You know, it adds a little.
The Xiaomi Mi 8 kind of like Saran wrap.
Keep your food fresh.
Yes, longer with the Mi 8.
It's like the slow cookers of smartphones.
Yes.
Yes, except there won't be a whole series called This Is Us based off of what happens when a crockpot is left on for too long.
Oh, back to that scene.
We're still talking about it on blogs anyway.
All right. ASUS has a new phone. They announced a gaming-focused Android phone at Computex 2018. It's called the ROG. Tell me what it stands
for. Republic of Gaming.
Republic of Gaming. I like the ASUS ROG. 6-inch 4HD plus AMOLED HDR display at 90 hertz refresh rate. So this is meant to be like a gaming Android device. The Razer Phone is also a gaming Android device. That's at 120 hertz refresh rate. So this is less than that, but still more than most. Qualcomm 845, a boosted CPU speed up to 2.96 gigahertz, which is a first for a smartphone. 8 gigs of RAM. And then it has 3 USB-C ports. So for a number of reasons, one is that no matter how you're holding the phone while you're gaming, you can plug it in and it won't get in the way. Another is that there's like all these things that you can plug into, which I'll talk about in a second, but 3 programmable ultrasonic sensors so that you can keep your fingers out of the way of the action. They're kind of like the squeezable sides, but you know, for controls for the games that you play. This thing's really out there. 4,000 milliamp hour battery, ASUS HyperCharge technology, so that's their own style of fast charge. 3D vapor chamber cooling system with 16 that provides 16 times more heat dissipation, because all those games that you're going to play on it really ramp things up and tax the system. It also includes an aeroactive cooler to clip onto the glass back.
Oh, Jesus.
You plug that into a USB-C port to power a fan, and it also lights up the RGB logo. Other accessories include a twin view dock, which is like a handheld grip that includes a second screen up top for gameplay and viewing options. Also a mobile desktop dock, all that kind of stuff kind of plugs into this these USB-C ports that are sprinkled throughout the device. Price and date, release date later this year. This is kind of like one of those Android phones that you haven't seen before. They're doing a lot of different stuff here.
I like it, but it's too PC gamer. It needs to be less PC and more, I don't know.
Yeah.
More gamer.
Just the way it's designed, it's just so like, look, it's like a PC case, but in a phone form.
And it's too Razer. It's kind of like ruggedy. That. Yeah.
But I really like the idea of like the clip-on fan and all of like the extra little bits that have been added just to tailor to gamers. I really like that idea.
Yeah.
I don't game enough on Android, though, to really be interested in this.
Yeah.
Not in this manner. I don't game in this manner. On Android.
I'm curious to play with it.
Yeah.
Mateo, thoughts?
I like what Alex Dobie from Android Central said about this, that it looks like a Klingon warbird. And from what I see also, the Android distribution has a lot of heavy skinning to make it look a bit like that. So if you think today is a good day to die, maybe this phone is for you.
Don't we all? No, I don't think any of us do. It's interesting. Hopefully we can get one in-house and play around with that. What game do you put on here that possibly taxes this to its limit?
I was thinking Goat Simulator in maximum graphics settings.
Oh, I think that's what that's what they were thinking when they built it.
Yes.
With full Goat AI component.
So we need to see if there's a special edition made in conjunction with Coffee Stain Studios, the makers of Goat Simulator. I shall reach out and get back to you.
Yes, please do. And Mars Worm is saying PUBG Fortnite, which hasn't released yet, but will soon.
That's pretty much That's pretty much what this is made for.
Yeah right. All right, and then real quick here, I won't spend a lot of time on this because I literally got this right before the show. Leo has been playing around with the Gemini PDA, which is the Planet Computer's Gemini. This was an Indiegogo
I remember this one.
Campaign. And
I remember it.
It's like a really big Motorola droid.
Reminds me of the PDAs of the late 90s. My mom had one.
Reminds me of my old HTC Windows phone.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's pretty cool. I'll be honest with you. I'm intrigued.
It's interesting. It's running Android 7.0.
I think you can type on it like not without your thumbs. I think you can do full home row. Yeah, there we go. Oh. Type in fast.
If you are like a reporter on the go, do they have those anymore? But do you had actual like traveling kind of beat guys, whatever. I could see, you know, in the airport typing this, you know, typing up your article.
All About Android is the best show in the whole wide world, says my search results. That's what I entered in. It's true. Anyways, if you want to find a review of this on the network, I believe that Leo is going to be reviewing this in full on the new Screensavers this weekend. Don't quote me on that, but then do, because I said it on this show, and I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. He's going to have more information on this. But like I said, I just got this right before the showtime, and it is very interesting. It's very different, and haven't really seen a whole lot like it. So check out his review. That'll be on the new Screensavers.
Just a quick thing. I got to play around with one of these at MWC this year, and the flashing LED on the back is programmable. So it has its own menu system within the operating system. And you can get it to do the Knight Rider flashing light that goes from left to right and right to left.
Oh, because you can kind of
see. It bounces backwards and forward.
Yeah, you can kind of see different little panels in there.
You might need to find it in the settings, but I think it would be worth it just for that.
Yeah. If it could talk to you. Actually, that would be a good voice for a Google Assistant would be... Kit from Knight Rider. We're just giving Google all sorts of great ideas today.
Yeah, these are million-dollar ideas.
All right, let's dive into a few pieces of app news. Why don't we?
So this first bit of news is really exciting. Talking a lot about phones. You know, we want phones for everybody, and we want everybody to have a similar experience. And of course, Google, huge proponent of that.
Yeah.
Which is why they've made Google Photos a progressive web app, or some of you know, a PWA.
PWA.
So Google Photos, there's a PWA for it now, a progressive web app. There's no support yet for notifications and offline support. It's really basic at the moment, but it will be built out over time, which, you know, that's just kind of how Google does things. It's perfect for Android Go phones since it's got a relatively low footprint compared to the app. And you can place a shortcut on your home screen and launch it directly if you like.
Yeah.
You don't even need to download the whole gosh darn app.
I mean, PWAs are perfect for their Go lineup. It just really strips it down to the basics.
And I think for the Photos app, it makes perfect sense because all it is pulling the image asset from the server, right? Like it probably doesn't have all the bells and whistles of the Photos app with the assistant and all that, you know, but you just want to see your photos. Who cares?
Right.
Great solution for PWA. You're I love PWA. Gallery.
Yeah.
So more stuff come out. The app section really should just become Google section, I feel
that's
sometimes.
That's what's been lately.
Yeah, I know. But we've been talking for the past couple of weeks about YouTube Music emerging on the scene, the new version of YouTube Music and what that means for Google Play Music, whatever. I signed up as soon as I could to get access to it. And sure enough, yesterday I was one of the folks who were in the first wave of YouTube Music invites. There you can see if you're watching on the screen, that's the email as it looks. This is welcome to the new YouTube Music. I didn't have to install an update to the app, which I thought was interesting. It just, when I logged back in the app, I was in preview mode, or whatever, early access mode.
This is it, right?
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Yeah, there it is.
All right.
And I got to tell you, not terribly impressed and slightly frustrated and annoyed because despite all the talk about Google Play Music and YouTube Music and how they're going to interact, none of my information or data from Google Play Music appeared in it. No knowledge of my favorite artists or anything like that. When you open the app for the first time, you could go through one of those. Tell us your favorite artist. And I got to tell you, I went through the entire screen, like the entire – that this is the screen that you're on right now, Jason. I went through from the top to the bottom, and I by the way, scroll back up. Can you scroll all the way up? Look who's right there in the middle, our good friend Marshmallow.
Oh, yeah. He
friend of the show. Friend of the show, Marshmallow. So what frustrated me about this was the fact that, yes, there were some bands that I enjoyed in there, and I checked them, and when you give them feedback, they give you another row and more suggestions. I went through the entire thing, and there's no filtering of genre. There's no saying I don't like this artist or anything like that. And you guys know me. I'm very specific about music and things like that, but not once did I get – one of five bands I consider my favorite band. So according to YouTube Music, it's not going to recommend me any of those bands because it didn't come up in this very limited, you know, tell us who you like kind of thing. It had some of them, and when I tapped on some, and then it expanded a little more and things like that. But right now, it's very myopic. But the other interesting thing I thought was neat was that it's doing a lot of recommendations based off that stuff, which is cool. But if you go back away from this, you notice the difference between Music to Get You Started. You see your mixtape there is a square and albums appear as a square, but then there are artists, and you can tap on an artist, like just tap on Fleetwood Mac, and you could subscribe to that artist the same way you subscribe to a YouTube channel. Right. So if you tap subscribe, now you'll get anything from that artist, not necessarily directly from them. It's not like their profile. It's just a page that represents that band. It's very it's a weird thing. It's weird. Hmm. But yeah. So.
So work in progress.
Yeah.
Aren't they happy that they've promoted this so heavily and got people, you know, excited? Which excited is probably not the right word. I think it's been one week after the next has been kind of a frustrating transitional thing. No one really knows what's going on.
I seriously think that this is to grab new people. This is not to – like we're very, very focused on what the experience is from Google Play Music and what the difference is and things like that. I very much believe this is like Google trying to attract as much business away from Spotify and from Apple Music and from the other platforms and just get them on anything that works. And this is the new sexy. Like, that's all it is. Mm-hmm. I think.
This is the new sexy. I like that song.
But before we move on, though, one quick note. We did get an email. Jason Smith wrote in, not Howell, and said last week you had someone who was concerned that YouTube Music needed Android Auto integration. He said, I'm one of the lucky ones, a current Google Music subscriber who was given the new YouTube Music. I can confirm, as shown in the picture attached, and he sent a picture, that YouTube Music does indeed work with Android Auto.
Oh, nice. So, there you go.
So if you were concerned about Android Auto and YouTube Music, they do work. So there you go.
Perfect.
Okay, good.
Yay. They figured that out, at least, that part.
No one's crashing cars today.
Good. Hopefully. And finally, this isn't the biggest news in the world, but you're right. It did totally turn into Google Apps section. I'm sure there was apps news outside of just Google, but I didn't find it. Google's opening up its Expeditions AR app to those who aren't still in school. Apparently, it's exiting a pilot program. It's now available to everyone. You can go and download it and explore 800 standard VR and 100 AR tours that were created by Google Arts and Culture. There's also other partner experiences from places like the Smithsonian, textbook publishers, that sort of stuff. You're going to need an AR Core phone device in order to do this. But we played around with this a few times, a Google I.O. here and there, and it's kind of neat. You know, is AR still the big thing, Mateo? I guess Apple wants you to think it was, right, based on their previous thing earlier this week.
I think AR has more potential than VR, but we're still early days. Standards haven't been cemented yet. It's still early days, but Google are in a good place, and especially with their expeditions.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get the younger generation on board who will think differently about how to create the products. The exciting point for me will be in 5 years' time, where the kids who have been exposed to this from a young age start making products.
Word.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's a really great point.
Very cool.
Yep.
Ah,
it's the children. Awesome. It's the children are our future.
We believe the children are our future. Okay, it's time for the Android Arena.
So many enter, but only one lives.
Okay. Last week, episode 371, is that right?
Yes.
Yep, 371. Yes. And you place your votes, and we appreciate it time and time again. We appreciate that you do that. And the winner, 50%, half of you voted for Carrot Weather.
Woo!
Like the attitude when it comes to the weather.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I made mine communist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can make a communist. So
is that like in the settings?
Yes.
That's awesome.
So does that mean you use degrees Celsius?
No, I'm not that. Yeah, not that.
You can go that far. You wouldn't do that.
This is American communism.
Carrot weather with 50%. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's see here. Twist app, second place at 20%. That was Russell's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was. Yep.
Third place, Color Breeze. That was mine, 18%. And fourth place, I can't remember.
Voce.
There we go. That makes sense. Podcast player, which was Ron's, at 13%.
So I'll take the zero, but what that does to the standings through 23 weeks, and thanks to Wade County in the chat room for providing these, guests are still in first place. So, Mr. Mateo, you are sitting pretty in first place. You gotta defend the guests' honor here. I'm in second place with 59 points. Jason climbing out of the basement with 47 points, and Flo in last place with 43 points.
I'm creeping up. So,
yeah.
I'm creeping up.
Well, you got a first. That's a big point boost.
I did.
Yeah.
So right on.
Although
right, so
my suggestion engine is not, anyway.
Does it mean I go first, Jason, I think?
That means that you go, well, let's see here.
First, yeah.
Yeah, you go first.
Loser?
Yes.
Yeah, loser, then you, then Mateo, then Flo.
That's right. All right, go for it. All right.
Well, it is my favorite time of year, or should I say my favorite time of every 4 years, and it's time for the... It's exactly. It's a long one.
They are long usually, right?
Jason was announcing a goal, as often happens during the World Cup. Every 4 years, the countries of the world that made the cut, unlike my two favorite countries, come together to play for the World Cup, play soccer or football, as it's called in other places. And so, of course, you need a companion app. And sure enough, there's a great one that I really enjoy. It's called World Cup 2018. Yeah, soccer. I think it's actually just Yeah, Soccer. And this is their World Cup app. Or World Cup, yeah, that's actually what it's called. So this is just a great app that has all the information you want in relation to the tournament. What you can have is you can, as Jason is doing there, you can pick your favorite teams, the teams you want to follow. You select one there on the homepage. We got a countdown until when the World Cup starts, just 8 days away. It lets you know how many matches have happened, how many goals, how many yellow cards, all the data, all the fun stuff. See the schedule that's coming up, the dates and who's playing. And then from there, if you hit the hamburger menu, you can see all this great access to information about the teams, the groups that the teams are in, the schedule, the venues, refs, all the stats, all this information. It's just really, if you're super into the World Cup, I think this is going to be for the next month or so my companion app as I keep track of the tournament and try to follow the teams that I want to cheer for this year, because Italy and the U.S. did not make the cut, unfortunately, very embarrassingly.
We didn't make the cut? Neither did Italy?
Yeah, it's more embarrassing. Italy not making the cut. U.S., it's bad, but Italy not making the cut is just crazy.
It was totally expected that Scotland wouldn't make it, but I was a bit saddened and surprised that Italy didn't make it. This year I'm supporting Iceland.
Nice. There you go. I got to check. I do a pool with my family, and I picked a bunch of teams. I got to see which those. I'm going to mark those as my favorites. But yeah, so it's a great way to keep track of the World Cup. It's given that it's taking place in Russia this year, the time zone's a little wonky. It's hard to keep track. This is a great way to stay in the thick of it. So World Cup soccer, World Cup, 2018.
World Cup 2018 app,
Yeah, soccer. There you go.
You gotta love the titles sometimes. Excellent. Looks like a great presentation of all the information you're gonna need.
Good use of material design, very simple, sleek, simple design. Good stuff.
Awesome. My app does not have good use of material design. In fact, it doesn't have very good design at all. But what I was trying to find, I'm just being honest, you're going to see it in a second. It's pretty bad. What I was trying to find was an app where you could use your phone to create off-the-cuff 3D shots. And the reason is, my inspiration for this is a subreddit called Crossview, and I have it down there. If you head over to there, Victor, we'll start with that, because that's kind of the inspiration for this. I showed this subreddit, and you can click on any one of those, and it'll show you an image of what I'm talking about. CrossView is basically, this is a subreddit where it shows these 3D images that are designed so that if you cross your eyes, the combined image in the center is the three-dimensional image. And the way that they put these together, when you do that, you end up getting, if it's done really well, you end up getting this really kind of cool, almost like you're looking at like through a window into like a small world where everything is totally three-dimensional. It's really hard to explain. It's kind of like those posters where you have to like make your eyes lazy in order to see the image or whatever. But it's really just basically like, you know, oh, that's probably a good one here. I'm going to cross my eyes. Oh, yeah, that's good. Oh, that's good. The logs are totally separated from the background. Anyways, once you do this a couple of... What's that?
Do you see the sailboat?
Oh, is it hidden in the sky? No, I don't see the sailboat.
That was a mall rat.
Yeah, I was going to say. I got you, Victor. I got you.
Dang it. And I know mall rats. It's just been years. Anyways,
is it a goat?
Wow, the goat really does keep coming back. This subreddit is a lot of fun to go through once you start getting your eyes kind of used to doing this, and you see some of these really great examples of how deep and you know how much depth you can get out of images like this. And I was like, how can you do that on Android? And the only app that I could found that did this in the short amount of time I had to look today was an app called 3D Steroid Pro. Isn't that a great name? I'll go ahead and launch it so you can see the UI elements. And let's see here. Okay, I'll swap here. So this is basically the UI interface. I went out into the parking lot and I was kind of playing around with it. And essentially, you know, you've got, I'm sure I could dive a little bit deeper into these functions and really tailor my approach, because I'm sure, because the trick is essentially when you line up for a shot, You take it. So here, I'm going to pull up the camera function. It's not going to work in here because everything's too close, but just so you can see the UI elements. So you have to line it up. You want to get this thing to show green, right? That shows you that you're kind of parallel to the ground. I hit the shutter, and then it's going to do a little overlay, and you want to shift your perspective, but then line it up again, if that makes sense. And the trick is, in order to do this really well, when you've got like a landscape view, if you're outside and you got a lot of trees and everything, you want to see, I'm trying to get that green before I take the second shot. The trick is that there's a certain distance that you want to be able to move the phone in order for this to work perfectly. I haven't fine-tuned that myself, but there are people, but you can actually go to the CrossView subreddit and there are how-tos on how to do this. And they tell you kind of like the ideal distance to take. And this app will kind of give you direction as far as like how far you're getting. So I wasn't able to dial it in perfectly. But in doing that, it ends up taking the two pictures. It kind of automatically orients them so that when you, in the case of what I'm doing, you know, the stereo view, let's see here, cross, it will kind of position things so that they're lined up ideally for that particular method of browsing on the internet where you can cross your eyes and it'll work. This image, like I said, is not going to work in this style, but doing it, yeah, with like really nice landscapes and everything like that, if you do it well, it's really cool to see the effect in action when it's done well. And I'm not sure, you know, in my time searching, I'm not sure that 3D Steroid Pro is the absolute best app to do this. If you know of a better app, let me know, because I'd be curious to see it, because it's kind of cool to be able to make these on the fly. And this is only one use of this app. This can create stereo images for all different types of 3D. As you can see down at the bottom on the UI right now, all different kinds of, you know, with overlays and everything, like the green and blue that you see if you have 3D glasses and all that kind of stuff. So you can turn those two images into different types of stereoscopic viewing. So it's called 3D Steroid Pro. It's $2.90, and you can play around with some 3D images. Take it with your single camera phone.
For now.
And see what you come up with. And that's it. 3D Steroid Pro. All right, Mateo, I have your app installed, and I think I'm not surprised at all. Go for it.
Thank you. So this week I bring another goat-themed app to the arena. This time it's a game called Crossy Goat. So this is not Crossy Road, it's called Crossy Goat. And this is a procedural generation game where, as the game goes, it generates different levels each time you play. And the idea is that you are a little goat. You, as a user, you tap on the screen to load your jump, so to charge your jump, and then let go. The more you keep your finger on the screen, the more you get...
it's okay. We got to watch this ad. This is, hold on.
Apologies. So, yes, this is a free game in the Google Play Store, but it is ad-supported. So you tap and hold to load your jump and then let go and land on the next bit. And you get a point for that,
that
for each jump.
I love that, that it's called Crossy Goat and it's not a ripoff of Crossy Road.
I mean, yes, it's
genius. Like, it's not. I mean, it's the same blocky kind of style. Yeah. But it's not the the endless runner Frogger type, you know, type thing. It's a different game. That's clever.
Exactly. So it's App Store optimization for their game title.
That's
but it's
for
a
sure.
fun game to play. And if you can get over the in-app ads, it's actually very pleasant to game. It's quite challenging. If you put the sound on as well, the music is quite endearing, as well as getting little goat baas as you go.
And dropping little goat turds as you jump.
Yes, which is quite amusing in of itself.
I think I'm getting the hang
of it.
Dang it.
As you go, you collect coins. And if you go to the shop in the top right-hand corner after you fail a jump, I think... there you go. Shop. So you start off with your basic goat, and then you can upgrade to different types of goats. And the further up you go, the more important or powerful the goat is. So that's Captain America, that's Iron Man, that's the Hulk goat. So there's lots of different goats to choose from. You save up your gold coins that you collect going through the game. And in my time playing Crossy Goat, I've noticed that the more ads you watch, the more likely you are to get gold coins in a game.
Okay. Pro tip.
I haven't proven that the two are directly related. Currently, it's just a correlation. But a fun game for light gaming. It works surprisingly well on low-end devices as well. So I've been playing this on a Nokia 2, which is running on a Snapdragon 212 chipset. So it's a very low-end device, and it plays perfectly well.
I bet this would be really good on the Asus MOG. Is it the MOG?
ROG.
ROG.
The rig for online goats.
Yes, exactly.
There you go. Nice one, Mateo.
Very nice.
Yes, so there we go. The Crossy Goat, it's a free download in the Google Play Store. I believe this one is also available in the Amazon App Store if you're using an Amazon Fire tablet.
Lucky you if you are. The Crossy Goat. No, I'm not actually. I don't mean that to sound bad. It's good that it's there too. Crossy Goat. Yes. Everyone should get a little goat in their Android device.
And please remember, a vote for Crossy Goat isn't just for Crossy Goat. It's for Team GG&G. That's guests, goats, and Gina.
That is the truth. All right, Crossy Goat. Thank you, Mateo. And Flo, what you got?
So, last but not least, I've brought a little app called Marco Polo, video walkie-talkie. Used to just be called Marco Polo. So I discovered this app on a Motorola phone a long, long, long time ago. So it's a video chat app. And basically what you do is you leave video messages for your friends and you just leave each other messages back and forth. And, isn't this like Snapchat? Kind of, except that nothing goes away. Ever. And it's just like a long running stream of interaction with your friends. It's super easy to use. All you have to do is open it up and start recording. And my friends found this on their own and they kind of ushered me toward it. They were like, hey, you need to use this. So today I am going to just turn the volume down, but I can show you now over the shoulder that I was chatting. I was chatting with Josh today. So, yes. Hi, Josh. I told you I was going to debut this on the show tonight. Hi. So, look, he's watching. He just popped in. He knows that I'm... Hi. He can actually watch it while I'm doing it, or he can just wait and come back to it later. Hello. Oh, look, I'm going to say hi. Hi. Hi, Josh. He knew about this, by the way. I didn't just like throw this on him. But yeah. Oh, look, and he gave me a thumbs up. So, and now Josh is talking. Don't say anything. There we go. And as you can see, I've already got a couple of friends on here.
Dang,
which makes
you got
it
a lot
really
of people
nice.
In there.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. All my little group of besties were on there. And it's kind of because I don't have FaceTime. So this is how we apparently chat now. And it's super easy. And it's kind of like a low res app. It's not like super, you know, there's not like super AR features or anything. But you know what?
Not yet anyways.
I don't know that there will be. This app has actually been around for a couple of years, and it's pretty basic.
Yeah. Well, you can do doodles and filters, so that's one
step
closer
to AR. Yeah, you can do some filters. But it doesn't really matter, because the point of this app is just to hang out with your friends. Everything is just between the two of you or whoever your little group is. It's easy to create groups. It's fun.
Cool.
And you can fast forward through videos, too, if you're like, oh, my God, they're talking too much. Don't do that. That's mean.
Right on. It's Marco Polo video walkie-talkie. Marco Polo video walkie-talkie. Got to work on that name a little bit.
You can just look for Marco Polo and it'll come up, by the way.
It'll be the one. All right. Cool. Marco Polo. I may have put it in the poll as video walkie-talkie also, just so you know. And if so, I apologize. But you can go to twit.to/AAAPoll372. twit.to/AAAPoll372 and vote for your favorite app this week. Is it World Cup 2018 app? Yeah, soccer.
Yeah, soccer.
3D Steroid Pro, Crossy Goat, or Marco Polo Video Walkie Talkie. World Cup 2018 app, Yeah, soccer, and Marco Polo Video Walkie Talkie both have similar naming conventions. twit.to/AAAPoll372 and place your vote.
I think Victor's going Crossy Goat. That's my guess.
I don't know. 3D
Stereo. Wow.
Nice. Nice.
I have a lot of blue and red glasses that haven't used in a while, so.
Excellent.
Victor wants to see those sailboats.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Before the kid gets caught on the escalator.
I realize I put that in the poll is wrong, but it's right up in the description. 3D Steroid Pro is what it's called. I put 3D Stereo in there, but you get the picture. It didn't keep Victor from voting for it, nor should it you. Mateo, thank you once again for sacrificing your sleep for us. We always appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on my favorite Android show.
Oh, gosh. Aww. Well, we love having you. What do you want to leave people with? Where should they go? You got a lot of things happening.
Yes. People can follow me on Twitter @Todaleo or Instagram @Todaleo. And for all my Tech Travel Geeks content, techtravelgeeks.com. That's where we will be adding content as we go, as we travel, and as we evaluate consumer electronics for travel. So it's a fun endeavor, and we also have a YouTube channel. If you'd like to subscribe to us there, please do so. We actually currently have a video where we unbox the Honor 10 cookie. It's not the Honor 10 phone, and we're giving away the cookie to someone who leaves us a fun comment on the YouTube channel. I have to clarify, that is a GDPR compliant cookie.
Okay, oh,
good.
Oh, geez. I was gonna say it's about to get really awkward.
Good.
Right on. Well, Mateo, we really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, and thanks for supporting my goat jokes.
Absolutely. Anytime. Always. It's kind of what we them. It's what we look forward to.
Yeah.
Is supporting your goat jokes.
Supporting the goat.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mateo. Flo, what's up with you?
Well, speaking of privacy policies, I had to write my own this week
really?
For my website. Yes, I copy and pasted it and then I edit it. But anyway, I don't have time for these things. I don't have a lawyer. but the reason I put it together is because I finally put together some questions. Those of you that have sent me questions through my website at florencelion.com. So you can see the first little installment of that. At florencelion.com on my blog. The first one is, can you use the Amazon Echo and Google Home to control the same device? Go to florencelion.com to find out. whether it's a yes or a no.
Dun, dun, dun.
There you go.
I'm not going to spoil the ending for anyone. Yeah, Victor's not going to click on it to spoil the ending either. You got to go there to find out.
Click on it, Victor. I spent all that time formatting it.
Well, you make a good point. Excellent. Thank you, Flo.
Thank you.
Ron, what about you?
Not much. I don't want to take up too much time. Just go to Twitter. I'm at RonXO, and I'm on Instagram at RonXO, and there you can see all my nonsense there. I've seen lots of music recently. Talking about The Godfather. It's a fun time. So go follow me on Twitter and Instagram, RonXO.
It is a fun time.
Ron, kiss and hug.
No.
I don't think that's what it means. Maybe it is, actually. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it, man.
Yes.
And Victor, thank you for everything that you do. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem.
And thanks for voting for my app. YellowGoldMusic.com, if you want to find the music that I've been making, it's there and it's available to you for free and not for free, but for free, really. And then, of course, I'm all over the Twit doing technology shows. That's what we do here. There it is. It's my
notes. Technology shows.
We do technology shows here. Just watch my technology shows. That's right. That's what we do here at twit.tv. That's it for this week. Voicemails can be left at 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. Find us on the subreddit. If you're not at the subreddit called Crossview, you can go to our subreddit at twit. AAA. Suddenly I blanked out on that. Sorry. Do a search for All About Android. You'll find it. Twitter at Android Show. Arena apps list can be found at twit.to/Android apps. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You actually find everything there that you need to subscribe to the show. Find our past episodes. You can find all of the episodes that only Mateo has been on and watch them. Have a Mateo Fest. Mateo Fest. And you can watch us live. We actually have some folks that popped in here live today. Tickets at twit.tv. Did you email tickets at twit.tv? So they did it the official way, and they are here. We really appreciate having you guys here. Thank you. And you can do that, too, if you want to stop by the studio and watch the show live. We'll have you. Tickets at twit.tv, or you can catch it live on the stream, and that is twit.tv/live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody. So this tasting is a little different.
Look at this. How many Oreos did you get?
Oh, if you only knew. Here, this is all reenactment, by the way.
That box is enormous.
Look at Jason acting like he's a celebrity or something.
Oh, there it is. It's the famous Oreo cookie in the box.
One box.
One thing
of Oreos.
Okay, so I tweeted out this video of me getting that package because I honestly, this was last week. I honestly didn't know why Amazon put only this single package of Oreos inside that gigantic box. Like, that was all for real. What I realized that shortly after the fact is I ordered this via Amazon Prime Pantry. I think it's the link that you sent me, right, Ron?
Okay, yeah.
You sent me a link. It was to Prime Pantry, and I didn't realize that Prime Pantry, you pay a single shipping price, and and you fill the box no matter how much or how small. So it's my fault.
You should have added sacks of flour, really.
Something. And But I didn't think about it. I was just in a hurry.
Jason, that was your opportunity to buy that anvil you've been wanting to get.
Dang it. Oh, and I've been looking for that opportunity for that. It's a really nice anvil.
Right, no, it really is. I've seen pictures of it. It's very exciting.
Anyways, so that video went as viral as Fox News could make it.
Oh.
What I love about Fox News writing about that video is that they say right up near the top that it's going viral. By the point that they posted about it, it had like maybe 16 likes. Like, it was so not a viral video. They were making it viral by saying it was going viral.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
That's how life works, Jason.
Apparently, this is how media works.
I am rich. Very rich.
And you become rich.
And I become very rich.
See, yeah, I should have been.
Nobody taxes me.
I should have been saying that a long time ago. Anyways, what was the Oreo cookie that I was delivered inside this gigantic box? It was the Kettle Corn Oreos. I did go to the store and try and find it. They were sold out. That's why I ordered it on the store. Ron, you also have it in your hands.
He has the box that that my husband bought at our grocery store in our little town. Yeah. So you're eating a piece of my town, Ron.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Jason sent me this. This is going to complete the trilogy, the trifecta, the saga of the My Oreo creation, where they created specialty Oreo flavors, of which, still going on Twitter, the woman who created the god-awful cherry Coke Oreos, still talking to us.
Yes. Hey, she's proud. And she should
she's
be.
She's very proud.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, right now she's in second place in my mind, but her Oreos.
Will on Twitter posted the picture of him trying to make something out of those cherry cola Oreos by making a milkshake out of it, and she responded with her video of her milkshake as well. It was
dang,
it's getting very weird.
Oreo cookie milkshake is a thing. So I'm not hopeful on Kettle Corn Oreos.
Why?
In fact, it kind of disgusts me, the idea of
it. As you open it, let's look at the cover of the packaging, where it says Kettle Corn flavor cream, artificially flavored. But then to the right of the O in Oreo, it shows the open Oreo, and it says with puffed millet pieces.
Oh dear.
Oh, okay. Doesn't that sound delicious?
I don't know what your idea of a good time is, but mine doesn't involve puffed millet
pieces.
I like puffed millet. Puffed millet is good.
Mateo,
they sell it.
Puffed millet, yay or nay?
So, my personal first reaction is no. This sounds terrible. But there's an Android angle here, one that maybe you're not aware of. So, Xiaomi, the Android brand in China, have the Redmi sub-brand for their affordable devices. And Redmi literally means red millet, red rice.
Oh,
interesting.
So
we have a tie-in here.
Yes, well, it is a tie-in.
Jason, I don't know if you've opened it yet, but when I opened it, I was taken aback with the overwhelming smell from the inside of the Oreos.
All right. Well, I should also, before we go on, point out that a lot of what I heard from in Fox News comments and on my Twitter feed were questions about, okay, so it was packed really well in the box, but were the cookies broken when you got them?
Shocked Amazon
like,
customer.
Yes, I'm a shocked Amazon.
Shocked Amazon customer
shocked.
Is shocked. Jason's
shocked.
New.
Outraged.
Not outraged, shocked.
No. And I should say that, you know, I mean, in Amazon's defense, these cookies are very intact.
Compared to that one time when we got them, when they showed up and they were powdery.
And the cookies almost seem more, it's the puffed millet, obviously.
Thicker. These are thicker Oreos than the previous ones. They definitely feel thicker.
It's a nice, thick
they're
Oreo.
Very puffed.
So smell them. Give it a good whiff. Because you get...
Whoa!
Is that caramel? Is that like a caramel
these
smell?
These smell like a cereal I grew up eating, like Golden Grahams.
Oh, yeah.
Yes! These smell like Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Confusing.
So they are,
all right, I'll
they
open
are
them.
A, not a chocolate cookie, right? And it's more of graham cracker. Piece.
Okay, I'm displaying some millets.
You got some millets in there?
Some mullets.
There's the millet.
There's
Can
the
you
puffed
see
mullet.
The puffed millet?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
The All cream right. seems thicker.
It
the
does. It's like a double layer. It's a double stuff, even.
Yeah. All right.
Alex is getting bored. Let's eat.
Let's do it. You know, not horrible.
Mm-mm.
That's not bad.
Mm-mm.
I was critical of the Kettle Corn.
Thank you for putting up the closest thing you had, which is the Xiaomi phone, Mateo.
Yes. This is a Redmi Note 5.
A Red Millet Note 5.
A Red Millet Note 5.
You guys, I'm really into this. It tastes like a Keebler cookie I used to eat. Like, it tastes like a cookie I used to eat as a kid. That's what it's reminding
Grandma's
me of.
Grandma's cookies. That's what it
oh
is.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
It's grandma's. It kind of tastes like a grandma's
the
cookie.
The ice kind.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly
oh
what I'm talking
gosh.
About.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it does.
I used to love those.
You got a little honey. Mm-hmm. I don't taste the millet. Lamb. I don't really taste the millet.
No, there's no real millet. Like, it's not obvious. The millet doesn't hit you over the head. Let's just
all right. So let's look at a couple of things. The ingredients are sugar, enriched flour, reduced iron, thiamine, mononitrate, riboflavin, palm and or canola oil, corn syrup, puffed millet, salt, baking soda, soy, artificial flavor.
Is any of that actual food?
Millet, no. Which they also feed to goats, by the way.
Lucky us. There's the connection. Yeah.
There's our tie-in.
Perfect tie-in. Thanks, Flo.
Uh-huh. Well, because I bought millet once at Whole Foods, and I was like, oh, what is this? And the
kettle
first description is they feed it to
cream
goats.
With puff pieces. A kettle corn treat. Do you guys like kettle corn?
Yes. I always buy it every time I go to the farmer's market. Every other week.
I'm kind of meh on kettle corn, to be honest. I got to be in the right mood for it. But sometimes I'm in the mood for it. It's not, but I know some people go nuts for kettle corn.
I go nuts for kettle corn. Yeah.
I will say that I am surprised in a positive way. I really expected to hate these.
Same.
And I don't hate them.
I don't either. let's
go for some ratings. Ratings. Oh, Flo, man. What is your rating?
I'm going to give it an 8.
Oh, that's a little high
for me.
I
really enjoyed it. I could eat a whole pack of these.
Oh, I don't know if I could.
Do you want to know how many calories are in one cookie?
Don't eat
a whole pack of these.
Don't tell me.
Yeah.
I'm going to man, how many sixes have I given? Honestly, like, would I go to the store and buy this and eat it on my own? No, I wouldn't. I'd probably give it like a 5 or a 5.5. I'm going to go with 5.5.
Wow.
I think that's better than the other two, the scores that I've given on the other two. I could be wrong.
Yeah, no. There's a follow-up question. I'm gonna meet you guys in the middle, and I'm gonna go with a solid 7.
Okay.
So now, rank the My Oreo creations. If you had to rank cherry cola, kettle corn, or pina colada, one, 2, 3. How do you rank them, Jason? Don't look at the numbers.
I'm not. They're not updated. It's okay. Thank you for whoever updates them. We'll look forward to them. Okay, so I would say my least favorite was, surprisingly, my least favorite was the soda one. This is the second, and probably the pina colada is the top.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
Same.
What do you think, Ron?
I'm going to go pina colada, kettle corn, then cherry cola.
So, but you just named them in reverse. Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. Well,
and this just in, my wife in the other room texted me, says, you don't know what millet tastes like. So, there you go.
Ooh, sick millet burn.
Sick millet burn by Carrie. Good job. All
right. Never heard of millet burn before, but that's one for the ages.
And the thing is, and this is why she's great. I don't know what millet tastes like, so there you go.
It's true. It's true. You know me. Awesome. All right. We can put that one to bed. That contest is done.
I like the way we've got to the point where you're now stack ranking Oreos.
Sure.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they dared us. It says on the cover, my Oreo creation, vote for your favorite. So,
yeah. Exactly.
And we did. We voted for our favorites.
I will say I did not expect it to go this way. I expected this to be the worst of the bunch.
Oh, no, I knew cherry cola was going to be the worst of the bunch. I'm sorry, whatever your name is, woman. She'll never find the show. Hopefully she does. What is her name? Eden Falwell.
However,
I'm sorry.
Eden, we appreciate that you've done something that we will never do.
True.
You've had a flavor of Oreo created.
Mm-hmm.
And we will never have that.
And then you were contractually obligated to start a Twitter account.
Maybe not. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know for sure, but we can only assume.